The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
What time is this?
I am the face that runs the place.
You need Roman to be out of the main title picture for a little while. You give him a break. This is the only way you're possibly going to get the crowd to do anything but boo him, is give him a break.
I'm the greatest wrestler in the world.
It was exciting to see, because it kind of reminded me of reading Rainbow a little bit.
All he needed was just LeVar Burton to come in there.
Well, then this would have definitely got a, you know, 5-star pay-per-view for me.
Show of the year.
Yeah, show of the year.
Andy and the big gal, as we like to call them.
The big gal. Andy and the big gal. The big gal. I'll tell you something. Anderson might be a big gal, okay? But I've been with women bigger than him. How you doing?
I think you meant Gallows, and that would also apply to Gallows, because believe me, I would know. Yeah, that would be
big
true.
Gal.
Yeah.
Anyways.
They say they're going to come here, lay people out, and make money, and they hate catchphrases. Well, they didn't lay anybody out the past few weeks.
No,
they might be making money, but as far as catchphrases go, well, we got plenty of them. And how about we combine the money and the catchphrases, and we say, if we had a dime for every time that we were scared of Gallows and Anderson, we'd
hold on. Zero dimes!
Very good, very good. And Halloween's right around the corner, okay?
Yes,
they need
is.
Some new costumes, I'll tell you. Maybe Pooh and Eeyore or something like
Pooh
that.
And Eeyore.
Yeah.
Me and you could be like Woody and Buzz.
Yeah, or Mario and Luigi or something like
Mario
that.
Mario and Luigi. But,
ladies and gentlemen, wrestling to the max.
And your hosts, Gary Vaughn, Sean Garmer, and Paul Leeser.
Welcome, everybody, to Wrestling to the Max, episode 218, part 1. And we have a great show in store for you guys to do today. We are actually going to be talking about a lot of different things going on in the world of wrestling, like another lawsuit for TNA. Way, happy birthday, Merry Christmas. You get another gift in a lawsuit, TNA. Plus, you're also going to get to hear us talk a little bit about some other information that you may be curious about, like, you know, the fact that we've got some stuff going on when it comes to Evolve and maybe some other indie promotions being a part of another subscription service. And this is really going to be cool. You're going to want to hear about it. We'll let you know the name of the company and what's going to be taking place with that subscription service. Trust me, it's really interesting stuff. Plus, we're also going to get into some Ring of Honor. That's right. We're going to talk about Ring of Honor TV this week. And Sean is actually going to bring us a little review over Road to the Power Struggle. So you're going to get to hear him kind of get into that and give you, you know, what happened this past weekend. So lots of cool stuff to talk about. I'm excited about it. I hope you are too. I'm your host, Gary Vaughn. And of course, with me, Mr. Paul Leeser.
Heyo.
And Mr. Sean Garmer.
What's going on, everybody?
You know what, guys? I mean, this has been a big weekend for a lot of people. You know, lots of things going on. Everybody's gearing up for Halloween. I know I am. And, of course, when you do that, guess what show comes on? Walking Dead, of course. And, you know, the whole, you know, universe, internet, everybody that does follow that show have been excited. I am not going to break any news. I'm not going to give any spoilers away. I'm sure there are people out there legitimately who have not watched it. I know it sounds funny for us, those of us who actually have, but guess what? I'm one of those people that sometimes has to put things off for a couple of days, and I forced myself to watch it because I was not letting anything get in the way of that. Saying that, I don't want to ruin it for anybody else, but boy, it was interesting. I know Sean and Paul don't really watch it, so we won't get into a conversation about that, sorry. But anyway, we are leading up to Halloween, and I'm looking forward to it. It's one of my favorite holidays. But what's going on, Paul? I mean, is the comic book store or anything going special when it comes to Halloween?
No, we don't do anything special for Halloween up at the store. Last year we had people come in costumes, which was cool, but it being on a Monday, I highly doubt there's going to be a whole lot going on at the store.
That's so sad. You don't hand any candy to the kids or nothing like that?
No, not really.
I get you. That's okay.
I know last year, comic companies gave away free comics last year on Halloween, so.
Oh, well, that's actually not a bad idea, to be honest with you. It's very cool. I'm sorry. I just love Halloween. I love horror movies. This is the perfect time to sit down and get, you know, some perfect, you know, one of those awesome horror movies you've been waiting to see, or maybe just rewatch one. I mean, Shauna, me and you used to sit down and watch plenty of Italian horror movies.
Yeah, man, that was the life back then. Great. You get to sit down, eat some pizza, and watch a freaking awesome horror movie like one of those Italian with Dario Argento, Mr. Fulci, all those great, great films. Those guys are awesome. If you ever watched one of their films, you really should. The store usually has that thing where somebody usually the greeter has a bowl of candy, and they kind of give it to whoever happens to be there that day. I'll probably work that morning, so I may not see any trick-or-treaters because they're not going to come till when I'm not there. But
yeah. But you got to take an eye, even if it's just around the local neighborhood somewhere, because it is so much fun to watch kids. And yeah, we're talking about Halloween early. We'll probably talk about Halloween on Thursday, but I'm sorry, it's one of my favorite holidays, so I like to get into it a little bit before we do actually talk about it. So, you know, but yeah, I mean, you got to do that, you know. Hey, maybe do a little something, you know. There are malls and stuff, I know in my area, that actually do give out candy and stuff if you don't want to go to neighborhoods too. So,
well, hey, I mean, I've been doing my part by enjoying it. I mean, I may be one of the few people that have actually been sort of watching it, but that Exorcist show, I've been enjoying it. Maybe some people, other people don't. It's probably going to get canceled, but...
Good. You do actually really like it? Do you think it's...
I like it. I mean, it's the Exorcist. Those movies were never really great. I mean, it's just... I think it sort of captures the first movie okay, plus there's a big twist in it, but I mean, you know, those it's like really hard to do that, those kind of movies great, because there's always that element of okay, whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really believe this is happening or not, kind of thing.
That's why I love American Horror Story, because, yes, a lot of it's far-fetched, a lot of it's stuff you're not going to see happen, but at the same point, they draw you in, and they kind of get your goat, and they kind of make you feel like, I didn't like this, and all of a sudden, the next thing you know, like, I can't miss an episode, you know?
You like the them changing it halfway through the season like that?
Actually, to be honest with you, I kind of do. I really was not a big fan of the first part. It was kind of okay. But this, I'm digging it even more. You know, at first, the reality thing was kind of throwing me off. But the way they did change it, I'm actually kind of more invested in it now. So that's why, once again, I wasn't sold. The next thing you know, here I am. I can't wait till Wednesday. So... just you know, a few shows for you guys to go out there and watch. If you aren't watching TV or movies and you want to sit down and watch something, hey, there you go. Go on your demand on your cable, or maybe just look it up wherever, however you get your entertainment. And we'll be talking more Halloween stuff on Thursday. Don't worry, we'll be getting into more stuff. Maybe I think all of us should maybe pick out some movies for people to check out. I think that's what we'll do. We'll get a few horror movies we really love, and on Thursday when we start the show out, we'll talk about maybe our top three horror movies for you guys to go check out. Now, that sounds fun to me. Well, guys, you know, without any further delay, let's go ahead and jump into some wrestling news. Let's go ahead and get into some quick hits.
It's time for wrestling news. Quick hits.
All All right, guys. Now, when it comes to a lot of the big news this week, we want to quickly touch on something that, let's be honest, we've talked a lot about it. So I'm going to kind of go through this, and I think we can kind of get to this probably pretty quickly. But on the other hand, it is something we need to discuss, and that is, once again, TNA getting sued. I know, big surprise. We just heard last week, and of course, if you missed the news or anything, they did have someone, which is the Fight Network, chip in and help them a little bit, because they actually got out of paying the debt to Billy Corgan because the Fight Network took care of that. But you actually will get a chance to read that lawsuit. They'll actually have it out pretty soon here for you guys if you really do want to understand what's going on in that lawsuit. And of course, it was taken down now because guess why? It's paid. But at the end of the day, very interesting stuff. But now TNA has got another lawsuit against them, and this one is from a bank. It's actually Bank Direct Financial, and they are coming after TNA because TNA basically paid them off, I think, from another bank, which is not a smart idea. I get it. People who are in debt do that sometimes, but just not a good idea. So is this ever going to end, Paul? I mean, it just seems like every other day we're getting somebody else out of the woodwork to come and sue these guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's another hole in the boat. It's another bullet to the chest. It's another whatever other euphemism I've used in the past 2 weeks since we started talking about all these lawsuits flying at him. But you have to wonder how many they can take before they finally bite it. And I think that's all everybody's waiting for, is when do they finally tap out? When is enough enough? When does it finally become too much? And it certainly feels like we're getting to that point, if we're not already at that point. Because everybody, they're not getting sued for peanuts. They're getting sued for 200,000, half, a quarter of a million, all, big money that we know that they don't have.
Yeah, they're having to be bailed out by other companies. Obviously, lucky for them that, Fight Network cared enough to make sure that they stuck around, because they are a ratings getter for them, which is, I guess, good news that somebody, TNA gets good ratings for somebody here. This is just, again, more bad business practice by Dixie Carter, and it's good that they got this lawsuit to go away from Billy Corgan, because it was going to be damaging to their company. But the word going around is they're still going to file bankruptcy at some point, because they can't deal with all these loans. And I imagine at some point Fight Network is just going to be like, look, we're not paying all this. We're not paying every single time one of these people decides that they want to sue you. And it becomes a problem for them. Again, it's hard to keep feeling sympathy for this company.
Yeah, I agree. It is. And you look at the financial situation they put themselves in. It is just so sad. It's almost just embarrassing to the ninth degree, because you expect people in this situation, people to have, TV deals and contracts and all these other business negotiations that they've done in the past, and all the business deals that they've broken down, you would think they would have a better stance. But yet they like someone who's a hardcore gambler who blows their money to find ways out of it. And that's not the case at all. They just mishandled their money. They mishandled situations, and they put themselves in a hole that they're not going to climb out of it without bankruptcy. It's the only way they're going to climb out of it. I'm waiting for the day that they do, finally claim bankruptcy. That means they've got to sell TNA. Get that. But at the end of the day, Dixie is going to finally tap out sometime. I don't know what it's going to be, but every time we get a suit, every time we get some bad news, you got to think that's the breaking point. I don't know. That's just me. There's got to be that point. If they survive another year, Paul, they're invincible. And I will some of that juju on me, So that's just the way I feel. I mean, honestly, think about it. No one could kill them. Who could kill? They're like a roach, right? In the nuclear holocaust, they're the only thing that survives. It's the way it feels. They're not. They may beat WB. Maybe WB go down the tube before they do.
It's just going to be a bunch of guys arraying in the shed, the remnants of the impact zone and the cockroaches to watch. That's all that's left in the apocalypse.
Eric Young's like, I survived again. Anyway.
Eric Young did survive. He went somewhere else.
Yeah, we'll see how long, but yes, you're right. He is somewhere else, and somewhere else that I'm actually happy to see. But, you know, let's get into some stuff that is actually better and happier and actually something that I think a lot of people are going to be excited about. And that's the fact that a company by the name of Flow Sports, which they actually have had a deal with WWE before, they are actually going to make a new deal with Evolve. And they have a back catalog. They also have some of the different videos from Evolve. And they are planning on making a subscription service available for people for $20 a month where you can get Evolve Wrestling. You can get all the different stuff that they come out with, including pay-per-views. And this is a really cool deal. And there's also talk about them branching out. I think, Sean, you were telling me, actually, that they have Shine as a part of this as well. So kind of give us an idea of what's going on with this subscription. And isn't it $20 a month? Am I correct with that?
Yes, it is $20 a month, $150 a year. They are not done signing deals yet. So I think people that are just jumping on the bandwagon of wanting to yell and scream and complain and get mad and everything else. I think, you know, obviously there are things in this deal that if they actually happen could be big for wrestling as far as indie wrestling, because supposedly Flow Slam is going to make enough that Flow Sports would be able to kick back money to these companies to be able to help them fund things and maybe be able to give, say, ROH, if they were able to sign on, give ROH some money so that perhaps, you know, maybe an Adam Cole doesn't want to leave. Maybe Young Bucks decide to stick around or whatever, you know. Or, Evolve has to deal with WWE, which I don't know if that's... Supposedly, according to Gabe Sapolsky, this is not affecting their relationship at all. Even though WWE's not very happy about it, but WWE is a silent partner with this company. They gave them $21.2 million that they invested in. But I think at the time WWE didn't think that they were going to do this because they already had some kind of service for regular sports. So I think this is a different deal. It is very telling that at first all the stuff that was on there was WWE stuff, and then immediately got taken. All the WWE stuff got taken down as soon as the Evolve deal went through. You know, Paul's the one that watches Evolve more than I do, so he can kind of speak on that. But if you're paying for the double shot that Evolve does once a month, you're already paying less by doing this deal than if you pay for the on-demand service. Now, I should explain to this that if you were to pay the $20 a month every single month, you would be paying $90 more for the entire year than you would if you paid the $150 for the year. Because it's $240 for an entire year if you pay $20 a month.
Very true. This could be a very big deal, or it could be just a lot of noise. But I think me and a lot of other people in the community and just really anywhere are pretty hyped about this. If they sign enough promotions, this could be a big deal. If, you know, obviously WWN Live, the Gabe Sapolsky owned thing and all that good stuff. They have Evolve, they have Shine, they have Full Impact Pro. They have Tier 1 Wrestling. They do Kaiju Big Battle every once in a while. There's a lot of promotions signed to that, and that, I think they're already starting off with like 6 or 7 there. And, you know, obviously Evolve is the big one that's been making noise recently due to the WWE Alliance and everything, but certainly Full Impact Pro is always fun, and Shine is hit or miss more these days, but when they hit, they're usually pretty darn good, and I think Shine, the next Shine show in November is the first show that's going to be streamed as a part of this deal. So that's really cool. I'm not jumping on the let's pay for it now bandwagon yet, just because I want to wait and see who else signs and how quickly they come about signing people. If it's a slow trickle, I'd understand, because you're going to have people who are promotions and owners who are going to be hesitant about doing this, because I'm real curious as far as how money works out in all this. Like, are they getting paid up front? Are they getting paid so much per show? You know, all that good stuff. So I think there's a lot of wait and see involved here, but at the end of the day, this is certainly a big deal. If they get, you know, even if they get promotions that already have streaming services and they switch to this because they find it's a better deal or whatever, then hats off to them. But I think there was a report earlier that said PWG was approached and they said no because they wouldn't make any money or something like that. I don't know. If Ring of Honor signs, that'll be a big one. If they get some of these other big mid-flight ones, like an AAW or an AIW or, you know, other big indies around the world, certainly that would be a big deal.
Yeah, now that's part of the deal, too, is if they do sign a deal, they're supposed to, whatever content they agree to be on that network is supposed to be exclusively to Flow Sports. It's not going to be, like, WWE N Live is not going away, obviously, because you still need to be able to access the content you already paid for. But they're not going to have shows that are from Evolve. Now, they are going to have other, I think the ones that are not WWE owned are still going to be streamed on there, but the WWN companies are going to be exclusive to Flow Sports as part of this 5-year deal. So, you know, that's something that ROH has to think. Now, I don't know if Flow Sports will bend the rules for a company like ROH that's pretty big. And, you know, if you get them, you'll be in some nice company there. You'll get some fans. You'll get some buyers. They're saying that they're talking to companies in Japan. You know, DDT, this is another one I didn't even tell you guys in the doc, but, you know, Paul and I know about this, but DDT just launched, or are going to launch their DDT Universe. And that includes, you know, DDT, their NXT, which is DNA, Basara, and some other stuff. So, like, DDT's probably not going to be in there because they've got their thing. New Japan's got their stuff. So, like, would a company like Gorora decide to let All Japan and Big Japan go over there, Dragon Gate or something like that? It's like, you know, you have to wonder, would it really benefit Progress or Rev Pro to stop what they're doing to go over to this, you know? Go ahead.
I was just, AAW's also on Pivot Share, CZW's on Pivot Share. I think ECWA and ECCW are also on there, which ECWA runs Super 8 every year. They're one of the longest surviving independent promotions in the country. ECCW is a big promotion in Canada. There's obviously other ones, C4, First Wrestling out in Minnesota. There's a whole ton of promotions that you, and I think this appeals especially to smaller promotions. Like a lot of the outfits you have around Dallas, you know, like a VIP Wrestling or Wrestle Circus was just recently opened out in Austin. They're doing a show here in Dallas on November 20th. Metroplex Wrestling is another outfit around Dallas that, there's a lot of different smaller promotions and guys who are looking to make a bigger footprint. This is great for those guys. I don't know how many of these promotions are going to sign up. I don't know how many promotions actually have the ability to be able to run, to afford all the production equipment and find venues big enough that they can sell out or, you know, do well in, and as well as have the capability to stream. So I think there's a lot of logistics involved for promotions that want to jump on board with this. But if they have the means and the opportunity, they don't have a network or anything like that, certainly do it. And when it comes to Japan, something like a pro wrestling, like 01, I think would be a good go after, because they don't have much of anything, and they're still a fairly big indie over there.
Yeah, that might work. I just don't know if any of the bigger names are gonna wanna come over like that. So for you, let's say, okay, you already get WWN. Let's say ROH does sign. Would that be enough for you, or do you need to see more than that
I'm a ringside member for Ring of Honor. It helps get TV sooner and all that stuff. And that's $60 a month.
But let's say that they have their... I don't know what they would put... I wonder if they would agree to put the house shows on there. But I would certainly... I mean, not having to pay $35 for the pay-per-views, that's already a win.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean... I still don't know if...
I don't know if Ring of Honor would be enough for me. I mean, I love Ring of Honor. They're a great promotion. They do... They when they're on point, there's very few promotions in the world that can top them. I don't know if Ring of Honor alone would be enough. If you start... Like, I think if you get a lot of promotions that already have a service, like AAW, you get AIW, you get... there's tons more promotions out in California, but somebody like a PWG... I think if you get up in the neighborhood of maybe 20 promotions and half or more have a name value to them, I think you'll get a lot of people.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, Gary, looking at it from... You're not so much in the wrestling bubble like we are. You're more of that casual... Like, okay, you watch all the shows you gotta watch here, you know, obviously, but... You're not, like, entrenched in it after you watch those shows. You're just looking up all the stuff. So you're more like a lot of these people that are sitting there going, what the hell is this and why should I care? What would it take for you to say, okay, I'm going to make this $20 investment?
For me, it would take, you know, adding, you know, Ring of Honor. It would take maybe adding some other promotions that I'd be really interested in seeing. I'm not sold on just a small little indie circuit shows. Not that I don't appreciate what they do. It's just that, you know, there's a reason I don't do, you know, all the extra work when it comes to watching wrestling and watching, you know, Evolve or any other groups, because of the fact that my time is very limited. I'm involved with other things in my life, so it would take adding in some really cool products that I could basically just pay my $20, flip it on, and at my leisure catch up on some stuff and watch some things. But it would have to be stuff that I would care about, and so it would have to involve UK wrestling. It would have to involve, you know, some of the major US promotions. It wouldn't be able to just to do 1, 2, 3. Nah, that wouldn't do it for me. I'm sorry. I would just have to have more. So that may be more expensive for the network, but that's just the way I'm being honest about it. It would have to be some really cool things to interest me to make me spend the $20. Because, like I said, I barely have time to watch the WWE network I paid $9.99 for. If I'm paying $20, I better find something I really care about.
And that's the thing, too. Do you think $20 is going to scare people away?
I think initially it will. I think once you have... I think once time has passed and you have a fuller list and a fuller picture of all the promotions that are involved, maybe not so much. Like I said, I think if you get 20 promotions and... half of them have a name, or at least people have heard of them. Maybe they haven't always checked them out or anything like that. I think you get people. Because you're essentially looking at a dollar promotion, and there's obviously going to be so much content flying at you, especially if they're running monthly shows like an Evolve does, like a Full Impact Pro does. It's going to be nuts how much content they're going to have and how quickly they're going to accrue content, especially if they get... Japanese promotions who run tours. It's very common for even indie ones to run tours, and they may not be as big as New Japan's, but they're certainly running them. Our European promotions, obviously there's a lot of ways, you know, in England, WXW out in Germany. I'm sure there's so many more I'm not really hitting on here, but you see the point. There's so many places you could go, yeah, like Perros de Mal, our Lucha Elite out in Mexico, you know. Obviously, they have associations with bigger promotions, but they're certainly, if they're willing to stream and they're willing to give you the okay to air their content, then go for it.
Yeah, very true. I mean, this is obviously a wait and see thing. They haven't even launched this service as far as the wrestling part goes. Just they have all the other sports right now. I mean, if they really are able to get all of this, then that's great. I think it's worth it, but they obviously have to sign more, I think, for a lot of people to be able to say, okay, we're signing on to this.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, should be interesting to see in the coming days if they get more.
Yeah, it will be. And of course, you know, once we do know more about this, we will let you know. So just stay tuned. Let's jump into some other things that are kind of interesting. One thing that I'll say is, you know, interesting and a kind of upsetting at the same time for me is the fact that we're hearing rumors that Miz and Maryse may actually be split up. And they've worked so well together. I kind of hate to hear that that could be the case, you know. But what do you guys think about that?
They may be split up in storyline. I want to make that
Yeah, storyline.
They're not yeah. splitting in marriage or anything.
Yeah, no.
I don't get this.
What do you think, Paul?
I don't get it at all. You have something that is working insanely well, so let's break it up. I really hope this is just a rumor. I hope nothing comes of this. Maryse makes Miz so much more interesting. And I understand maybe you want to branch out and see if she can make other people interesting, but the Miz, why break up a good thing, especially whenever he's just starting to get hot again? That's just... makes no sense.
Totally agree. Maryse makes Miz awesome. I don't understand why you want to take them away. I'm fairly certain she said she's, even if she comes to wrestle again, she's not wrestling a full schedule or whatever. So what are you going to do with her? I mean, she works perfectly with Miz. Just keep her there. I mean, why take a piece away from Miz?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I just feel so sad thinking about the fact that we would have her with someone else and trying to manage another person. I just don't think it works. I think they work so well together. They have something great going on. You know, it also makes me wonder how much Vince is a part of this or who is. You know, is it Vince looking at it and saying, those two people are happy, split them up? You know, is it one of those things? Or is it just, you know, maybe they feel like the Miz could do something else in storyline that he can't do with Maryse? I don't know. I don't know the answer to those questions. I just don't like the idea of this. And I think all three of us kind of feel that way. We just don't like the idea of it. We hope that they don't do that. We'll see if it actually does take place. If it does, I think you're going to hear a lot of moaning and groaning on this podcast. A lot. But that's just the way it works sometimes. Well, let's get into some other things. Let's jump into some rapid hits real quickly, and we'll just kind of touch on a few things. Finn Balor is going to be making an appearance at Insane Championship Wrestling.
Yeah, this is pretty cool. Mick Foley was originally scheduled to be the guest commissioner for this show that ICW is doing in this in the Hydro out in Glasgow, Scotland, which is going to be one of the biggest shows they've ever done in their entire lifetime. And he can't make it because he has to work Survivor Series. So in his place, he's sending Finn Balor to be his special enforcer to make sure that everything that he, because he'll be there live via satellite. So everything that all the matches or whatever he happens to do on that show, Finn will be there to execute in full force. And there's a great video out there on YouTube you should go watch. Whenever his face shows up on the screen, that place pops like no other.
Yeah, that's going to be freaking awesome. To see, don't know if, you know, WWE's going to show any of that or whatever, but it's still really cool that WWE's allowing this to happen. Of course, WWE's already going to be over there for something else, so that helps too.
Jax Dane dropped the NWA title and is now joining Survival of the Fittest.
Yes, he's going to be a part of Ring of Honor's tournament here in Dallas, or in Arlington in San Antonio. I don't know... I wasn't entirely thrilled. I'm not a giant Jack Stain fan, but it's still cool for him to see him sort of branching out.
Yeah, that is cool to see him in ROH. Good that ROH is paying attention and noticing other talent that maybe not a lot of people know about. You know, it's I was making a joke about it. Do people even pay attention to what happens in the NWA anymore? You know, because New Japan has that deal with them, and they're like, they have an NWA... person show up like once in a every 6 months or so. That's what it seems like. Oh, and there's now a report that WWE could actually sign James Ellsworth to a full-time deal because his merch sold really, really well.
Oof, man. And that would be kind of interesting. I wonder how well that would go over, you know, in the long run, the long term, you know. But that's cool. I mean, I'm happy for him. I think James Ellsworth has definitely proven that he can make something happen out of really nothing at this point. You know, we'll see, you know, beyond that. But I don't know, Paul, what do you think about James Ellsworth? How impressed are you with him?
I think WWE's onto something. He certainly could be good for him in the short term. I mean, look, I recently saw a promotional poster. He's going to team up with Goldberg in a tag team match for a local independent that he works, which is pretty cool. you know, it's great for Mr. Ellsworth. It's great in the short term for the WWE. So long as he keeps making money for him, they're not going to stop.
Man, I don't know what the hell he's going to do after this run on SmackDown, like, dies inevitably, because it will, because those kind of characters don't... I mean, hats off to him for somehow... Listen, this is another guy that the audience completely and utterly made this guy. He's been really humble about it, and it's just been really cool to see somebody just be able to be something in a company and come from just wrestling for 14 years, never probably imagining anything like that would ever happen to him, and talk about living the American dream.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, hopefully, you know, good things do turn out for him. Let's talk about the fact that, you know, we have some sad news. We usually try to start this whole quick hits with some happy news or sad news, then go into the happy stuff. I kind of forgot that on this, but, you know, this is someone I'm unfamiliar with. Maybe y'all can educate me a little bit on this guy, but Frenchie Martin passed away this past weekend.
Frenchie was, I think, by the time I at least got to watching WWE, I think he was already an underutilized manager, but he ran with Dino, he ran with Dino Bravo, and a couple other guys too, and I think he added a lot to characters. But like I said, I think he's underutilized, so I'm not overly familiar with a lot of maybe his work outside of WWE that may have been a lot better. But certainly still sad. He's one of the guys, I think, who made that time of wrestling when I was starting to get into it so much more enjoyable.
I'm going to be honest, I don't know a ton about him. I know he's kind of... He's known in WWE, obviously, but he's also known in World Wrestling Council, where, you know, the Colognes still have their deal over there. He won almost, I think, all the titles at one point. Not at the same time, but he was at some point, had been all the, had all the titles. He'd won the tag team titles. He traded back and forth the Caribbean Heavyweight Championship, which I think is the main title there, and also the North American Tag Titles as well. So, I mean, he held quite a few, even wrestled Ric Flair to a 60-minute draw at one point over there in the WWC. So, that's cool for him. I think he did a few things in Japan, but they're not really big. But this is, I mean, sad for anybody, you know, to die. Dying of bone cancer. Ugh.
Yeah, that is so awful and sad. And, you know, our best wishes and prayers and hopes and all that go out to his family. So, but guys, we do have some uplifting things to talk about on this show still. We are going to move out of Quick Hits and we are going to move over to Ring of Honor TV. And don't forget as well, we are still going to talk some New Japan. Sean is going to review Road to Power Struggle. So don't forget about that as well. But now it is time to jump on over and talk Ring of Honor.
All right. What?
No, Gary said that, and it was still on mute when you said it.
Oh.
It was fine.
What's wrong with production?
No, I heard it click, and then usually I was trying to give you a heads up that way you could be the first one talking. But that's okay. Go ahead.
So Ring of Honor comes out swinging with a match. Tag team action as Colt Cabana and Dalton Castle team up to take on the Tempura Boys, better known as Sho Tanaka and Yohei Kamatsu, who are just going by Yohei and Sho now in Ring of Honor. I haven't really seen them since they left for Excursion for CMLL earlier this year. It's great to see them here in Ring of Honor, though. I think, you don't get to see a whole ton from them. Yohei looks super smooth. Like, I think he's improved past where Sho was in the ring by a mile. But Sho, I think, still has that charisma that sort of gets him through. Obviously, in a match with Dalton Castle and Colt Cabana, you're going to get overshadowed when it comes in ring charisma. And this match was pretty much there to show off Cabana and Castle, who have a tag team title match, are they're still the number one contenders for the tag team titles. And they pretty much, it's not a squash by any means, but it's certainly just a display match for them as Dalton puts Yohei away with the bangarang.
Yeah, and this is just a match, like Paul said, just kind of really showcasing Dalton, Castle, and Cabana, but at the same point, it's entertaining. I really did enjoy it. And, once again, it's one of those where, they start out the show with something that the crowd can get behind. And I think this is one of those things. And, so I was very happy about it, and my boy was a part of it as well.
Yeah, we do see your boy later on in the evening. We come back to Kevin Kelly standing on stage with the Briscoes. Apparently during the break, the Briscoes and Castle and Cabana get into a little shoving altercation. The Briscoes make it sound like they have a World Tag Team title shot coming their way at Final Battle, and they don't care whether it's Castle and Cabana or the Young Bucks. They just want to be 9-time World Tag Team champions. Hard to disagree with giving them the title shot, seeing as they skipped out on World Tag League for Final Battle.
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely agree. And, it's kind of funny that they do. They kind of make a point that they do deserve it, and I don't disagree. I think that they have a right. They're one of the best tag teams that Ring of Honor has to offer. So, for me personally, I think they have good, points here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then they send it backstage where we get this sort of rapid-fire smash-cut promo between Adam Cole and the Young Bucks, with Jay Lethal and Kyle O'Reilly, and it mostly focuses around the world title. Cole hypes up his match that he has with Jay Lethal coming up during the UK tour. I believe he defends against him in November the 8th. And I might be off of my dates there. But anyways, Jay Lethal has a world title shot coming. He says he needs the world title to survive. Kyle O'Reilly, who has the world title shot at Final Battle, wants it to be Adam Cole so badly so that he can be rewarded for ripping Adam Cole's head off. That sent the whole point home quite nicely, I feel.
Yeah. I love it. I love the way this whole thing went down with that because, it was not only funny, but, these guys, they all get a chance to kind of explain where they're coming from. And, especially with a show that's only an hour long and you've got different guys involved, they did a really good job of, giving everybody their time.
Yeah, I agree. ECW used to do sort of the smash cut promo thing with it was that real fast paced song that they used in. I'm blanking on everything. Anyways, it's not important. The ECW's done it before to great effect. I think a lot of other promotions could do well too. Moving on, Kyle O'Reilly takes on Jonathan Gresham. It's been a while. Gresham, we haven't seen him since the Philly tapings, I believe. He has a strong showing here against Kyle. They do a lot of hold trading, which I enjoy. It goes a little long for my taste, but it's still pretty cool. Very smooth. Kyle O'Reilly, of course, wins. He ends up getting in a choke and then puts Gresham away with a brain buster. The more I see of Gresham in Ring of Honor, the more I think he needs to be here full time.
I couldn't agree with you more, and it's a surprise that he's not. It boggles my mind because the guy's got talent. I'll be honest, when I first saw him come in, I always thought, well, well, you know, I think they're trying to do him some favors, trying to get him over. But the more and more I watch him, I realize the guy's just got a lot of talent. He's, you know, got something about him that really, you know, just seem over with, I think, you at home. I don't know how the crowd seems to like him, okay? But, I mean, I just, personally, he's a guy you want to root for. So, I'm enjoying him, you know? He's one of my top guys yet, but he's one of those guys that I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think Gresham could do great filling out that mid-card scene that seems to sort of spin its wheels more often than not in Ring of Honor. But he's a great wrestler. He's a great hand to have around. And I think him and O'Reilly more than put on a fair match here. Post-match, however, Hangman Page runs in, attacks Kyle O'Reilly, focuses on the shoulder. Bobby Fish comes in. They start having a brawl. This sort of hits on the point that the Bullet Club hit at the beginning of last week's episode where Paige wants to be the World Television Champion. Adam Cole comes in. It's a two-on-two brawl. Paige ends up throwing Kyle into the guardrail shoulder first, grabs a chair, comes into the ring, and puts a hurting on Bobby, focusing on his ribs and stomach area with the chair. And, you know, say what you will about Adam Page, but they've really done a nice job recently of making him look dangerous in the enforcer role.
I definitely agree, and he really looks good doing it. You know, the way he attacked Bobby Fish with that chair and just really getting at it, I think, that, you know, it really made him look vicious. For me personally, I think that this is a great dynamic that they have with him, like you said, and he is an enforcer, and he's proving it day in and day out as you watch him. And I think these guys, you know, really, you know, showcased what they're about, and that's we're going to run over everybody we can. It doesn't matter who to get what we want. And right now they're focusing on Kyle O'Reilly for a reason, and they're now they're really focusing on Bobby Fish. And, you know, I don't know if this is leading up to a tag match for both these guys, or they're just trying to build up these singles matches. But at the end of the day, what matters is, you know, right now at this moment, you've got two guys in Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish who are going to be coming back for revenge. If Bobby Fish can come back, because I'm telling you, they really sold that pretty well. He may not be around for a minute.
Yeah, the certainly commentary does a great job of hyping up how hurt his ribs might be. They have the full medical team rush out there, all, you know, the full nine yards, and, you know, Bobby Fish is such, so great at what he does too, and sells it like a champ. So next up we move into more from this, the Legacy of Evil thing. Will Ferrara and Cheeseburger come out to the ring. They cut a promo about how upset they are about how Martinez has sort of targeted them, and they really want to show him up. So Damian Martinez and BJ Whitmer come down for a tag team match. Needless to say, it's a squash. The once again, the important stuff happens with Calvin Sullivan joining the commentary table. There's been a sort of tonal shift in Carino and his dealing with him since the last time we've seen him on ROH TV. He's calling him father. He's pleading with him not to make him be this guy, this Bruiser Wudai or whatever his name is. And Sullivan brings up the fact that he doesn't want BJ to be his favorite son. He wants it to be Carino, and sort of mentions that, you know, he dresses up like Uncle Mark and all these other things. And Carino also sort of reveals, or maybe lets slip, that he's the one who brought Punishment Martinez forth, not BJ and not Sullivan. It's all sort of interesting. And then post-match, Sullivan ends up whispering something into Carino's ear while BJ and Martinez are beating down Cheeseburger and Ferrara with the spike. And then Carino comes into the ring, sort of breaks it up, and then BJ gives him the spike so he can finish him off, but Carino quickly drops it after looking like he was about to stab Ferrara with it. So some interesting happenings here, but I think they need to move on and get to the point, because I think you're starting to lose people.
Lost me already. I mean, I just could care less right now at this moment, because I mean, there's just not. It's just gone way too long, and you're not getting the payoff with Carino at all. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you question if it's ever going to happen. I mean, that's the way I feel. Is it ever really going to happen? And when it finally does get the payoff, is it too late? And I kind of feel like it's getting right there at that point of if Carino does something, it's just like, oh well, whatever. I love the addition of, you know, Punisher Martinez. I've talked about it before on this show, how much I love him. Not really digging the new look, but that's okay, you know, still. But at the end of the day, they just got to get this thing taken care of. Get it done so they can move on and you know, let these guys go do something else villainous.
I just think they need more exposition because there's been too much shadow around this. And I understand you're trying to build up to something bigger here, but like I said, I don't think a lot of the crowd cares. I don't think a lot of the larger Ring of Honor universe really cares until you sort of bring it to the head that it needs to be at right now. And you need some more exposition. We need something to chew on other than just the mystery, because I think we're long past due for revealing something here.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I totally agree. They have just lacked. This is just a shell of what they have in store, at least I hope. And they need to hurry and get into some of the in-depth things that are going to make fans care, going to make us really be intrigued. And right now, none of this is intriguing. It's just us watching them do some of the things that they've done in the past. Big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we move on to our main event from there. The Motor City Machine Guns come down, cut a promo. They reveal that Nigel offered them the night off since we're still recovering from Ladder Wars 6. And they refuse, saying that they're here to wrestle. They're here to prove they're the best tag team in the world. And they're up against your boy Tetsuya Naito and Evil Gary. And the match is fine. It's very chaotic. I don't think it ever really comes together for me. But Naito does get the win with the Destino on Sabin. So there is that.
Yes, and of course, you know, that always makes me happy when my boy gets a victory here. I get where they're going with this whole thing. I mean, you know, once again, New Japan gets some love here. But at the end of the day, really, I mean, this is just, you know, a way to showcase both tag teams. And I do like the fact that they do let, you know, the Motor City Machine Guns kind of get out there and cut a promo. Because sometimes I honestly feel like they don't have a lot of time. A lot of times I feel like that they're just kind of out there just to look good and to do their job, which they do very, you know, great. But I just kind of like sometimes when Chris Sabin gets on the mic and kind of explains, hey, this is what we're about, this is what we're doing. So I liked it, and I appreciate it. Once again, when my boy Naito wins in the main event, I'm happy.
Yeah, and post-match commentaries and throughout the match, I should add, too. Commentary makes a big deal of trying to figure out where all the tag teams are at post-Ladder War, how it's changed them, how it's affecting them. And next week, the Addiction will take on the Briscoes. And we also get that semifinal match of the six-man World Tag Team Tournament with Kushida, ACH, and JY taking on the Cabinet. So there is some stuff to look forward to next week. But yeah, that's Ring of Honor. I thought it was a fine episode. It's nothing great. It's nothing must-watch. But it's if you're into the product, there is some story developments happening, which is good.
Very true. I agree. And, you know, once again, you know, I have my favorite parts because I had several of my favorite wrestlers a part of this episode. But on the other hand, it was nothing spectacular, nothing that you're going to be sitting there talking about for hours. It was just kind of there. So. Well, guys, now we have one more thing left to do, and then we are going to give Sean the ability to get into the review of New Japan's Road to Power Struggle. So we'll be right back with that next.
King of Sports. New Japan Pro Wrestling.
All right. Well, this New Japan show was really there because of the Super Junior Tag Tournament that's going on. You get three of those matches here. Most of the rest of the show was kind of, you know, just preliminary stuff. I mean, I don't really need to go through it. You do get some of the Young Lions that we don't get to see much. And the Tsuruaki Kanemitsu and Hirai Kawato teaming with Yuji Nagata and Tomoaki Oma. Teaming with Hama because it was a six-man tag. They beat the New Japan Dads, Tenzan, Kojima, and Nagata. It was actually a pretty decent match. Nagata always mixing it up with the Young Lions. It's always fun because he freaking goes and hard with them. You didn't get to see Hama very much in this match either, or Tenzin. They were kind of just there. It was mainly Kojima and Nagata against Young Lions, so kind of was what it was. Then you get this match that I think nobody in their right mind wanted to see at all. The Big Tree, as Paul calls them, Manabu Nakanishi, and Yoshitatsu against Yujiro and Bone Soldier. That's just, I'm sorry. Just, this is one of the worst matches. Just,
I enjoyed Larry's review of this match because he said that the person who cared most about it was the referee.
And they had a DQ. Bone Soldier choked him with the belt. It was so bad. And then let me tell you something. This thing with like that Bone Soldier wears is horrible. Like, where did they come out with this? It's like, seriously. Where did this come out of? It literally looks like he's wearing a part of a tree on his head.
Apropos, I guess, seeing as he's wrestling one.
You get Team Chaos of Okada, Goto, Ishii, and Yoshihashi against Omega. Chase Owens, Tama Tonga, and Tongaloa. Tongaloa was actually fine here. He wasn't, desecrating the ring or anything. But, I mean, it wasn't anything totally out of this world either. Kenny Omega was fine. He hit somebody in the back with a... I think it was a shovel. That's what it looked like to me. It might have been something else. Frickin' Yoshihashi wins. I think you pinned Chase Owens with that Half Nelson driver, the Karma. So, hey, Yoshihashi gets a win. Never going to be mad about that. You do get Hiroshi Tanahashi, Togi Makabe, Katsuyori Shibata, and Juice Robinson against Los Ingobernables de Japón. This stuff is always good. They always have freaking just tremendous matches here. Juice freaking going at it with Naito. It's like he really shouldn't, but he just, man. Like, honestly, Juice is like the guy that matters the least in this match, and Naito's selling like Juice is the top guy, whatever. You gotta give Naito credit for this. Like, he doesn't care. He's just in here doing what he needs to do to make the match great. And he does. Yeah, he winds up beating Juice with the Destino and everything, but he makes him look good in the process. Of course, Bushi is there to kind of add his stuff in there. You get a little bit of Evil and Shibata as well at the beginning. But not a whole lot going on there. You tease a little bit of Tanahashi and Naito, but not much. But this is probably the best tag of the show. They had to cancel the other tag with Will Ospreay and Ghetto and Finlay and Ricochet because Ricochet has a visa problem. So They made a singles match between Will Ospreay and David Finlay, and I enjoyed this. This was actually pretty good for what it was. You know, Finlay did some of his, the uppercut stuff and the flying elbows, and Ospreay has now colored his hair blonde like Okada. So it makes it a little bit harder to distinguish him than he was used to be really easy to see with that hair that he had. Now with the blonde, he kind of blends in a little bit more. So sometimes I'd be looking over and I'm like, oh, wait, that's Ospreay. Okay. He wins with that he hits a big Spanish fly and then he hits that springboard cutter. Great as always, but man, this was some fun stuff for 10 minutes. I think people should definitely check it out here. Speaking of fun stuff, the Ángel Dorado and Titán against Roppongi Vice. this had a cool story to it, because a lot of it, most of it was, of course, you know, Rocky and Beretta have that problem with each other. And they still kind of show it throughout this match that basically anytime Rocky is in there by himself, he's not doing very hot, you know. And also kind of showing that Ángel Del Oro and Titán are much better tag partners at this point in time than Roppongi Vice are, because Roppongi aren't great when they're doing anything. Neither one is really responding when the other one's in peril. And whereas Ángel Del Oro and Titán are like doing freaking springboard drop kicks off the other guy and double dives and everything else. I mean, anything you could imagine these guys are doing, it's they're doing it in style and in tandem. It's terrific stuff. The fans are really into both the CMLL guys, because obviously they don't see them very much, but they know who they are. And Titán doing that, he does this awesome where he spins around and then he backflips and does the Hurricane Rana. It looks awesome every time. He also does this, like, that backflip to the outside, and then Beretta freaking nails him with a lariat. It's awesome. Roppongi Vice actually winds up winning because Beretta hits the Dude Buster. And then anytime Rocky tries to, he's like over celebrating at this point. He's like going nuts, and Beretta's kind of like, dude, get off me. Like, go away. So it's,
yeah, because he did all the work, right?
Right, yeah, he did a lot of the work. So he's upset about it, and so the tension builds. Great stuff here. I love the fact that they had the story built into this. Anything on your end, Paul? Or?
I'm curious if these guys get a match at the Dome, when the turn happens, when it takes place, and then sort of where you go with them from there, because I don't want to say, Beretta's entire career in New Japan so far has been as Roppongi Vice, and I don't know how great they are, how well he'll do by himself, especially, you know, seeing as Rocky is so over, but maybe that's why, is they want to give Rocky a singles run. And there's no fault in that either.
Maybe that's what it is. I mean, out of all this time, like you said, he gets a lot of reactions when he does stuff, and to get him out of just, oh, the only time we see him in singles action is when he's doing Best Super Juniors, so let's see what he does here, you know. The other match, Jushin Liger and Tiger Mask for the older Tiger Mask against Fuego and Ryusuke Taguchi. Taguchi coming out with the cowboy hat and the stirrups and all the stuff like Fuego. Was just funny. That he's got it down, Mr. Taguchi. He gets it with trying to do everything his partner's doing. He's doing that. Of course, you know, you get Taguchi doing all his ass offense. Fuego is just fun stuff. And Fuego and Taguchi move on, eliminating the older guys, so that's good. I'm glad that you get the better team moving on here. And then you get the main event, which this was all kinds of awesome. You get the Young Bucks against ACH and Taji Ishimori here. So you get ACH, who's an ROH guy, and you get a Noah guy, so you know the fans are not going to chant for... You get... Literally, this was hilarious. This was like Brock and the Goldberg segment from Raw before. You get everybody chanting for the Young Bucks, and you get like 10 people chanting for Ishimori after they'd already chanted for the Young Bucks. It's really funny. And so, like, the Young Bucks are basically like the faces in this match. It's so funny. They get various chants throughout it. They do the Gary would like this because the suck it meter was pretty high for this match. So, you know, you get a lot of ACH doing the suck it with Nick Jackson, and even Ishimori gets into it as well. I mean, this was just so much fun. Just dives everywhere. Freaking, there was a point where ACH is just copying Nick Jackson constantly. He's like doing everything Nick does, he does it again. So like there's this part where, you know, obviously Ishimori and Matt are on the outside, so Like, they're just, they keep knocking Matt and Ishimori down. And then they both decide, okay, we're going to do a moonsault to the outside at the same time and knock both those guys down. It's obviously, like, choreographed. It's just so good. And, you know, they pull it off very flawlessly. Great stuff. And Ishimori was fantastic here. The only thing you don't get to see is, like, him doing that super elbow thing that he's really known for. Seems like they just... He never gets to do it in New Japan. It's funny. ACH looked awesome. They were chanting for ACH by the end of it. And ACH and Tanahashi Ishimori win with the double 450s. Terrific stuff. And the Young Bucks are eliminated in round one. So, awesome. Hope ACH and Ishimori go far.
Hey, Larry said that this win could even net him a title match at the Dome, which I would be completely in favor of because this sounded awesome, and I will go back and watch this match at least.
Please don't do the four-way again.
You have to think with David Finlay and Ricochet not getting, still sort of hanging around. Or in Ricochet, I think, made a post about on Twitter about how he's sort of disgusted that Bushi is the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion. So maybe he targets him for a match at the Dome too. But I'd certainly be okay with ACH and Ishimori getting that title shot at the Dome.
Yeah, I hope so too. They've been doing a really good job of doing these just tag matches recently. I want them to keep doing it. Really show that you're trying to do something with these belts and have them mean something. I'm not saying that Young Bucks have to win at the Dome or whatever, but at least these guys will have earned it, and it means something. I really enjoy the fact that you're getting a lot out of this. And this was a great freaking match and totally worthy of a main event here.
Yeah, I think their teaming's made even more interesting with the New Japan Noah War that they kind of have going on now. And how that feeds into how ACH reacts to everything, I think, would be an interesting thing to hit upon going forward.
Yeah, and I mean, it seems like they really bonded too, because they got the little small press conference at the end, and ACH was talking some Japanese, and Ishimori was talking some English with him, and just seems like they have a lot of fun. So, good to see. But that's going to do it for the New Japan show.
All right, guys. Well, that means that we are wrapping this thing up.
Well, we appreciate everybody who, of course, checked us out tonight. Don't forget, the best place to find us if you want to go check us out, of course, there's two ways that are big premier places. W2Mnet.com is a great place to go find us. Not only can you find the podcast there, but you can also go find a lot of written content like Raw reviews, SmackDown reviews, and of course, we'll have all our Ring of Honor stuff that Paul writes. He also breaks down Lucha Underground for you guys, so those are some reviews you'll have every week as well. So there's tons of stuff. I can't even start to name everything that we're going to have on W2Mnet.com. Plus, if you want to go check us out on whatever podcasting device you use, or whatever network you use, maybe you use iTunes, maybe you use Podcast Addict. I don't care. Just go look up the W2M Network. That's right. Go subscribe. And also, please, rate and review. That helps us help you. How does that help you? Well, not only does that get our name out there and help us to reach other people, but that it also helps you in the fact that it makes it easier for you to share things with your friends. And so, make sure you get in there and do that for us. Just a solid. Also, guys, I just want also, we are going to have a big special show for you guys on Thursday. Not only are we going to talk a little bit more about what's going to happen when it comes to Hell in a Cell, we're going to preview it. We're going to give you all our ideas, all that we think is going to happen on that show. Plus, we're going to get into TNA, NXT, Lucha Underground, and a lot more great stuff in the world of wrestling. So you don't want to miss Thursday's show. It's going to be a blast. It's going to be a Halloween spectacular. Plus, also, SmackDown Live, don't forget the review for that on Tuesday night. And, of course, all our other great content on the W2M Network. So I appreciate everybody for joining us. Sean, do you want to share anything on the network that maybe they need to look out for?
Well... I think all the Running Wild podcasts had their show. I was late and I didn't get to upload their show last week, so both of them are up there. And Rich did an interview with Ian Riccoboni, who does the he's like the second announcer. He does a lot of the announcing for Women of Honor shows, but he also kind of subs for Kevin Kelly here and there sometimes on Ring of Honor. So, you know, you can hear Rich's interview with him. And also, you know, they talk about No Mercy on that show as well, because it's from back there. And then, of course, they have This Week, where they talk about what's been going on in wrestling. And they also recap the Evolve shows as well. So if you've been keeping up with Evolve and you want to hear what they had to say, that's there. And, yeah, everybody else had a show. So at least all the podcasts that are still doing stuff, you know, go check them out. And, of course, Video Games Podcast, we talked about the Nintendo Switch reveal and Red Dead Redemption 2 and all that stuff, so make sure to check that out as well. And yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, cool. Lots of great content coming your way, everybody. And once again, we appreciate you for checking us out tonight. We will see you guys on Thursday. Until then, if you're not living life to the max...
Not living life at all.
You know it.
That's what happens when you do a show at 3:45 in the morning.
<I know. laughs> And that's concluding us. So, Sean, we'll go get some rest. Later, guys.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.